God's been good. God's been good. John chapter 5, we're going to read one verse together, verse number 13, if you have a King James Bible. John chapter number 5 and verse number 13. Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. John chapter 5, verse number 13. Let's read together. We're reading from the King James Bible. And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. I'm going to talk to you this morning about it was, it is, and it will always be Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless now. Meet with us, the Holy Spirit of God. Speak to hearts. Thank you for the folks that are here. Please, I yield myself to thee afresh and anew. Help me to get out of the way of this sermon and just preach it the way you want me to preach it. Dear Holy Ghost of God, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. John chapter number 5. Starting in verse number 1, let's read the story. There's a man at the pool of Bethesda, if you remember. John chapter 5, verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. This man had been sick, palsied, lame, crippled for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Here's a man for 38 years, had a problem, a physical problem. Couldn't walk, crippled, lame. And as we read in verse number 4, when the waters of the pool of Bethesda stirred, the first one to step into that pool was immediately healed. And doesn't say how long he had been at the pool there, but we know he had this problem for 38 years. And because he couldn't move quickly, fast enough, some other young whippersnapper or somebody who was able to be more mobile was able to beat him to the punch and step into that water first, and that young person was healed. You can imagine laying there day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. I don't know how long. I just know he had this problem for 38 years. Let's ask a question. How long have you had your problem? How long have you had the problem that you've been struggling with? Don't you think Jesus knew that he had the problem for 38 years? Don't you think Jesus was watching him for 38 years laying at the pool of Bethesda? Don't you know that God knew exactly what this man was going through for 38 years? And how many days, weeks, months, or years he was heartbroken every single time he thought the water was stirring, he could get in there first. As soon as he started to move, somebody else beat him to it. For 38 years he had this problem, but he never gave up. People give up today after 3 months of having a problem. 1 year of having a problem, a heartache or a burden. Something bad happened to you and you can't get over. 38 years. Hey, I want you to know that Jesus is watching your problem just like he's watching this guy's problem. Jesus knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly what you've been going through. Now, I don't know about you, but from a natural state of mind, you would think it would be a ludicrous question for Jesus to ask, would you like to be healed? 38 years, got this problem, can't walk, lame, and Jesus asks him this question. Look what he says, verse number six. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said to him, wilt thou be made whole? What do you think? I mean, Jesus is striking up a conversation. You know why? Because some people have problems and heartaches, and Jesus asks the same question, and they reject God. They say no to God. How long have you had your problem, and you said no to God? If there was a God, why let this happen to me? Well, why don't you ask the man who sat there for 38 years and never gave up on God? Why don't you ask the man who patiently waited while everybody else got in front of him and was healed before he did and never forsook God, never cursed God, never swore at God, but was patiently waiting for the God who was watching him the entire time? We're so selfish and caught up with our own problems and our own self-interests and our wants. We're our own God. So if things don't go right in our lives, we criticize the God who made us instead of depending on him and waiting for him. You think you're more important than God. Yeah, and that's why Jesus asked him the question. So wilt thou be clean? Wilt thou be healed? Huh? You want to be saved today, fella? You know how many people have rejected Jesus Christ when they ask him that question? Somebody comes by, hey, would you like to ask Jesus Christ to save your soul? You say, I'm not interested in that stuff. Problems, heartaches, drug addiction, in jail, in prison, crippled, divorced two or three times, bankrupt, foreclosed, lost everything, and they still reject God. This guy sitting there, 38 years, got a problem. And Jesus watching him the whole time. And by the way, Jesus has been watching you your entire life. Jesus is watching you before you were born. He says, sir, I have no man. I have no man. Nobody's going to come and put me in. Everybody else beats me to it. Jesus said to him, rise up, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is a Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Now, this is interesting. In verse number 12 and 13. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. He didn't know who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in the place, in that place. He did not know it was Jesus. I'm sick and tired when you give all the credit to doctors instead of Jesus. I'm sick and tired when you give all the credit to some lawyer or some government or some politician instead of Jesus. And you don't know it was Jesus. So I don't know why this happened. I don't know who it was. He conveyed himself away, the Bible says. I'll remind you that Jesus showed up in another form as those two disciples, two men walked on the road to Emmaus. And the Bible says in Luke 24, verse number 16, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They didn't know it was Jesus walking with them. They didn't know it was as he was opening up the scriptures, the Bible says. Did not our heart burn, they said. They did not know it was Jesus speaking with them. In John chapter number 20, when Mary Magdalene went to the grave, to the sepulcher, she did not know it was Jesus. She thought it was a gardener. In verse number 14, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not it was Jesus. In verse 15, it says, she, supposing him to be the gardener. Hey, Jesus showed up more in your life than you ever thought, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus spared you from an early death and you thanked somebody else and said, thank God. You're 1 second from death and you thank someone else instead of God. You just supposed it was the gardener. You just thought it was somebody else. God says entertain strangers because they're angels unawares, ladies and gentlemen. You don't know who God sent in his place. And you're giving too much credit, too much glory to every single person on planet Earth instead of the one who gave birth, who gave birth to you, to be honest with you, you want to read it, the one who formed you, the one who made you, the one who created you, the one who carried you when everybody else forsook you. Amen. It was Jesus that was watching that man for 38 years, the same way he's watching you. Before you were born, he was watching you. And you didn't know who it was. And we still don't know who he is. We just know the tip of the iceberg right now. We're just scratching the surface right now. That's all we're doing right now. You're going to be in shock when we get to see Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. You think this Jesus is some long-haired, hippie, weirdo, faggot looking like that? That's not Jesus. That's not Jesus of the Bible. You're going to be shocked when you meet Jesus Christ face to face. Jesus is Jesus of the Bible, not of Hollywood or Catholicism. We just know a little bit about Jesus right now. We do know that 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth? God wants everybody to be saved. We do know in 2 Peter 3:9 that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that. Amen. You know, God has brought you to where you're at right now. Let me repeat that now. I said, God has brought you to where you are right now. Let me repeat that. God has brought you to where you are right now. Through your dad, your mom, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, former churches, bad or good, car accidents, sicknesses, hospitals, near death, employment, you name it, drug abuse, you name it. All kinds of diseases, you name it, God has brought you through all of it to where you're at now for a purpose. Amen. Not some miracle drug, not some new invention, not some new technology. God. God. God is the one who has watched over you and protected you all your life and allowed you to breathe, allowed you to live, and allowed you to live long enough just so you could be saved from a burning hell. Born with physical problems, born with mental limitations, abused young, misused at a very young age, tormented, suffered the results of wickedness and the evils of Satan that has cursed the world and the earth and the flesh. Heartaches and cruelties and tortures and deaths of loved ones, betrayals and hurts and sorrows and disappointments, discouragements, deceitfulness of sin, deceived and being deceived, deceiving others, lying and stealing and criminal activity, spoiled rotten brats, selfish and self-centered, greedy and lazy and jealous and envious, cold-hearted, rebellious, proud, evil and wicked, fornicating, adulterating, killing. God brought you through all that to where you're at right now for a purpose. And God allowed you, believe it or not, to allow you to go through all of those heartaches and all those burdens and all those problems to prepare you right now for something he has in store for you in the future. God knew how to humble us. God knew how to break us. God knew we were too full of pride. God knew our egos were too big. God knew exactly what we needed to get us where we're at right now. It's a long road. For 38 years, a long time, ladies and gentlemen. Want to throw in a towel, I'm sure. Want to say I give up many times, I'm sure. I'm sure he said it's no use. I keep trying and nothing happens over and over again. For 38 years, we did not know truth, lived a sinful life, wickedness, and the evils of the world. Caught in the traps and snares of Satan, the fiery darts of the wicked one, the wiles of the wicked one, wounding us, crippling us spiritually, blinding our eyes. Even the previous churches that we attended, even though they were dead, formal, legalistic, ritualistic, empty, God used that background to form all of us individually. All our heartaches, all our devastations, all our hurts, all our abuses, no help from anybody, everybody walking out on us. Nobody showing us real love, no compassion, no mercy, no forgiveness, no second chances. How many times you've given up or almost gave up in 38 years? How many times you almost walked away from responsibility or have walked away? How many times you lived an undisciplined life, no character, and Jesus was watching you the entire time, forming you for the time right now. Right now, getting you ready right now for what's about to happen in your life. And you can still say, nope, I don't want God. Or you can say like this man, I'm all in. I'm all in. Amen. Take your Bible, please, turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. My Bible says in Psalm 139, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. I mean, God wrote you down in his book while you were being formed in the belly. God was watching you from your mother's womb. Isaiah 43. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Isaiah 43, verse number 2, please. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, whether you know it or not. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for watch this, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Now, God knows, we know we're talking about his people, Israel. But that applies today just as true as it was 2,500 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That truth 3,000 years ago is just as true today. that God has brought you through rebellion and wickedness and sin in the world and your lost life to where you are right now. And you didn't realize it was God. You didn't realize it was Jesus watching you for 38 years. You think it'd be a ludicrous question. You want to be healed today? But it's asked all over. You want to be saved today? Do you want to be saved today? Do you want to be saved today? You want to get right today? You want to get right today? You want to get right today? Who in their right mind would say, no, I want to stay here for another 38 years and suffer? Who in their right mind say, no, I'll let the other guys go first? Man, you jump out and say, Lord, please help me. Please save me. Yes, Lord, I didn't know it was you. Yes, Lord, please. He's standing right next to you. Thy word is nigh thee. It's closer than you think. Isaiah 44, verse number 2. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. God made you and God formed you from the womb. Look at Isaiah 44, verse 24. Same chapter. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. And you're trying to tell me it's not a baby in that womb? God made you and formed you from the womb. He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. There was no doctor helping him. There was no lawyer helping him. There was no Mary helping him. There were no saints helping him. It was God and God alone. Isaiah 45, I'm sorry, Isaiah 46, verse number 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Here's what God said, which are born by me from the belly. And thank God for the moms who gave birth, amen? But let's give the credit and glory to God, who gave mom the health and gave mom the strength and gave mom the ability to deliver you. Verse 4, and even to your old age I am he. And even to your hoar hairs, that's white, H-O-A-R, white, will I carry you. I have made you, I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? It's God that formed you. It's God that made you. It's God that carried you from your before your birth even to your old age. You want the government to take care of you. You want the government to be your God. That's why you worship at the government altar. That's why you want more from the government. You don't want more from Jesus. You want more from your God, the government. And that's why God's curse is going to be on you when God says, hey, would you like to be healed today? Say, no, I want the government to take care of me from cradle to grave. I want the government to feed me and clothe me and house me and take care of, give me insurance. You don't need Jesus, you don't think, until the day you die. It'll be too late then. It'll be too late then. You're going to realize how God gave you breath. God kept you alive. God brought you here this morning. Hear what I'm saying this morning. I didn't know you were coming. God knew it. God knew it. God knows you need this. So I'm not coming back. Well, you're getting what God wants anyway right now. It's okay. It's all right. So God knew you were only going to come here for one sermon, you spineless, put your tail between your legs and run out on God. God knows you. God knows you better than you know yourself. Why don't you just decide to get right with God today and just yield and surrender to God Almighty. Say, God, here I am. Use me. And He will. Isaiah 49, verse number 5. Isaiah 49, verse number 5. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Verse number 8, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. Hey, aren't you tired of being the prison of Satan all these years? Aren't you tired of being the prison of the wicked one, all locked up in caves like an animal? Don't you want to be free and the fetters broken? Don't you want to have your soul freed and have liberty? But we're enslaved to sin, and we're enslaved to Satan. We're enslaved to the enemy. And Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. He says this morning, hey, wilt thou be healed? He comes to you individually. Say, hey, you want to be healed today? And before the guy could answer, he said, take up thy bed and walk. Jesus knows what your words are before you even utter them. He knows you better than you know yourself. Verse number 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Hey, I want to remind you that when they nailed Jesus Christ to the cross, your names are engraved in his palms. He ain't going to forget you. Your dad and mom may walk on you or walk out on you. Your relatives and friends may forsake you and betray you. But God knew you before you were born, and you are right now engraved. You are written down in his book when you were being formed in the belly. You are engraved in the palms of his hands when he was crucified for our sins. He knows exactly who you are because he paid for your sin on the cross. And he loves you so much, he'll never leave you nor forsake you, the Bible says. How can you say no to that? How can you reject that? You love your sin more than Jesus? Huh? You love your drugs more than Jesus? You like your sodomite lifestyle more than Jesus? You like your self-interest and selfishness more than Jesus? You like your money more than Jesus? Huh? Verse 21. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? Yeah, you're going to realize it was God. You're going to realize it was God. It was all God. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verse 7 and 8. For a small moment I have forsaken thee. You're saying, where's God? Where was God when I needed him? He was right there. He was the gardener that you didn't notice. He was on the road to Emmaus that you didn't realize it was him. It was a stranger unawares that you didn't realize it was a messenger from God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. For 38 years, Jesus was watching this guy. He said, where's God? Where is he? If there's God, why wouldn't he save me or heal me? Help me. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Chapter 55, verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Turn to Philippians chapter number 1, please. We're almost done. Philippians chapter number 1. I don't know what you've gone through in your entire life, but all of us have gone through rough seas, ladies and gentlemen. And God has purposely allowed us to go through all those rough times to form us, our minds, our bodies, our emotions, our spirit, our attitude, for right now, for how he wants to use us in the future. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:3, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. Galatians 1 says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus, unto Damascus. God's the one who separated us and gave his life. Ephesians 2 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 1 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to him, according to the good pleasure of him, his will, or I forget now what it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. My Bible says in Romans 8, 28 and 29, for we know, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. All the things that have ever happened in your life have happened for good, as long as you love God. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow also, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Philippians chapter number 1, please. Verse number 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, watch this now, please watch along, read along, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Everything that's ever happened in your life, as long as you love God, God has will use that and prepare you for the winning of the loss in the future because of what you went through. There are certain people that have gone through what you've gone through that are hurting without Jesus Christ. And they need to hear from you that God's prepared. Amen. Every single person's got heartaches and burdens and gone through trials. And a lot of times we wonder, where's God? He's hiding himself. For 38 years, he was watching this man at the pool of Bethesda. He could have healed him just like that if he wanted to. For 38 years, he was preparing him, preparing his heart, preparing his attitude. For 38 years, that's a long time, ladies and gentlemen, 38 years, to have that kind of difficulty where you can't walk, crippled, paralyzed. He just waited until the right time, and Jesus showed up. Well, I'm telling you, Jesus showed up this morning and said, would you like to be healed this morning? Would you like to be saved this morning? Would you like everything taken care of this morning? Would you like your burdens lifted and your prayers answered this morning? Who would say no to that? Who would reject Jesus Christ? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. The things that were good and bad in your life, God worked together for good right now, as long as you love God. God knew you before you were born. God knew you, the Bible says, as we read, he formed you in the belly. He brought you out, let you live all these years. And how many of us would say, well, I don't know who helped me. I don't know who it was. And it was Jesus all along who carried us from the womb to old age. Jesus knows all about you. He's prepared you for what he wants to do in your life and with you. Remember, it was, it is, and it always will be Jesus. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for loving us the way that you do. Lord, thank you for your mercy, your grace, your long-suffering, your patience. I think about that man, 38 years at the pool of Bethesda, just laying there, crippled, paralyzed, lame, couldn't move. 38 years. I wonder how long we've had prayer requests that have gone unanswered, we think. How long we've had these burdens, these problems, these heartaches, these trials that we're going through. And you're watching the whole time. You're listening to us the whole time. And you're making us and molding us and forming us for something that you have planned for our future that we have no idea what it's about. Oh, dear God, just like this man was healed the day that you showed up, I pray, dear God, that today, people, today, would yield themselves to thee and say yes to you. Bless, I pray, this invitation. Meet with us, dear Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. God's people praying, please. God's people praying.